I mean, he brought a different energy in the building. And when you walk into the building, I'm sure y'all that practice, y'all feel it. And, you know, my brother, he said, man, things just feel different around here. And like I said, started, I mean, new coaching staff, new logo, new uniform. Yeah. I just feel a newness around here, man. And I like how much, I mean, Solly, even Gus came up to me, Coach Gus came up to me today, like, you're going to be held at the highest standard. And I hear it every day from Coach White Cotton, and, man, he's a maniac. Like, yeah. to get a coach to push, I mean, no offense to all my other coaches and, like, Coach T, and, like, he got everything out of me. But these, like, White Cotton, he different. Like, I could just tell, getting out the stack, the way he run individual, like, I love that. Like, I love it because it's to a point where I know I'm still chasing something in there. Like, I want to continue to be the best that I could be, and that them guys are going to push me to be that, so.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast live training camp edition. Titans just wrapped up training camp padded practice number 3. The quarterbacks, including Cam Ward, threw a bunch of touchdowns. We're going to break down the notes and reports out of training camp. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. And joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, and my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. As you said, Titans in pads for the third time on Thursday morning. Initially sounded like a fairly uneventful practice, but by all accounts, you know, Cam Ward got hot, especially during the second team period, that is. We had some injury updates on various players that you and I are going to cover today. Some good, some maybe not so good, but not overly concerning. I think we'll start where we always do, and that's with franchise quarterback Cam Ward, who it sounded like threw 2-3 touchdowns at camp today. I mean, Connor
at
Newt,
least
by
I
the
mean
way.
So I just think, like, on top of the touchdowns, which are always great, you want to see your quarterback throwing touchdowns in training camp. It's hard to always know what to take away from that. Are they doing a red zone drill where things are set up easily for the quarterback? Is it like a move the ball period where he actually ran a full drive? Like, that stuff, it comes and goes, and whatever, it is what it is. Sometimes they'll put the ball back down and rerun a play just to get it right or whatever. What stands out really to me from today's practice is the reported downfield passing attack seemingly being on fire. Multiple go route connections or deep play action connections. Like, this is what we really need to see from this Titans offense to take the next step. I don't know if you know this, Justin. Mina Kimes and her podcast, they recently did their AFC South preview, and she had Brett Coleman come on, who's, like, you know, big Texans guy and very knowledgeable about the whole league in general. And they talked about how Cam Ward had, I think they said, like, the 11th best, or maybe it was even higher. Anyway, it was a really good precision passing metric on passes over 20 yards down the field. But the Titans were at the bottom of the league in terms of these plays being completed, even though Cam Ward was throwing generally accurate passes down the field. And we've said this multiple times, Cam Ward needs to be better throwing deep outside the numbers. This stat covers all passes over 20 plus yards, so even like the deep digs in the middle of the field stuff. Anyway, the fact that the Titans' passing offense was so bad last year, and the offense in general was so bad last year, was largely due to a lack of explosive plays in both the pass and the run game. If the Titans can get this downfield passing attack working, and by all accounts they were in practice today, that changes the whole outlook for what this team can be.
Yeah, it sounds like they had it working today, as you noted. And picking up with the second team period, which from what we understand is when Cam Ward started to get a little hotter, serves our theory that every practice, every game, Cam Ward gets better as it goes on. He's a little warm-up. Most gunslingers do. You don't hit a bullseye on the first shot. Cam Ward hit a couple bullseyes as practice went on. There was a go-route touchdown, allegedly, to Carnell Tate. This came from Teron Davenport. You want to hit the drop? Hit the damn drop, if you will, while I say Carnell Tate.
Carnell Tate.
There you go, Hershey. I hit it for you. Is that what you're looking for in the comments? Carnell Tate with the go-route touchdown from Cam Ward, where he beat Alante Taylor on the play. Also in that period, the second period, came a play-action touchdown to Daniel Bellinger. Those two Cam Ward touchdowns apparently happened during the same period, the second period, And, you know, they're working the downfield passing game. Important to remember, those big boys, you know, those tight ends, they're assets in the red zone, and he's been hitting all his receivers, but can't forget about those guys. Bellinger's a guy who's going to get lost a couple times this year in coverage because the opposition's going to expect him to block first. He's going to catch a couple touchdowns in the red zone. Ward hitting Daniel Bellinger today for a play-action score.
Yeah, I'd love to know what the set was that they ran that out of. Was it two tight ends? Was it maybe something crazy with three tight ends? Was Bellinger the only tight end on the field? We don't know that, the extent of it. But Teron Davenport noted nice touch on the play-action pass, which was, you know, another area that I wouldn't say was a massive critical need for Cam Ward, but there were definitely times last year where you felt like he was rifling throws that could have been more layered and thrown with more touch. And so, again, great to hear the progress on all accounts there. That is two practices in a row that Cam Ward and Carnell Tate have connected for a 60-plus yard go route long bomb touchdown. I believe both over Alante Taylor as well, which is, yes, like, you know, is that concerning about the secondary's ability to stop explosive plays, or is it exciting for the offense's ability to connect on explosive plays? We're going to lean into the latter here because that's what we do during training camp time, and it's positive season. But I mean, then later in that period, he hit another go route to Aya Manor, which, again, the downfield passing attack working, multiple receivers getting involved. This one did come with a side of scary because Aya Manor got popped hard by Kevin Winston Jr. This go route did not go all the way for a touchdown. He got tackled hard by Kevin Winston Jr. and got up holding his shoulder and went inside. Robert Saleh said after practice that he'll be evaluated for a shoulder injury, which is a real bummer for a guy who is having an awesome start to training camp and the season, like this whole offseason program, and then carrying that over into training camp. That's not great. We'll have to keep an eye on it. If it's anything serious, that would be really just kind of tragic for a guy who was poised to break out. But do love to see Cam connecting with him on a go route anyway.
Some basic updates. The one to that Teron, I think he just edited his post, called a go route to Tate. He did say it was during a red zone period, so I don't think it was a 60-yard, bomb. But a go route in a red zone, you don't hear that a whole lot. But that's how he described it. Someone asked, sorry, I was going to put up the question, who's the guy at the podium right now? Austin Schlotman, your starting center, is speaking at the podium right now. So if you don't know who it is, it's your starting center, Austin Schlotman. TD with a couple of updates there. He also said that it looks like Cam Ward also hit Carnell Tate during a low red zone team period. Now, what's interesting to me is apparently practice ended. We got to give the people honesty here. Practice ended with the offense forced to do 20 push-ups. So we're not going to try to sell this as the offense dominated, because TD also noted that during a red zone period, the defense forced a bunch of throwaways. So while there were a couple of positive plays, it sounds like, it doesn't necessarily mean the offense dominated the defense today. That doesn't appear to be the case whatsoever. Now, on the Elik Aya Manor play, let's get to that. It was Ward to Aya Manor on a go route. That happened during team period. And a big collision between Aya Manor and Kevin Winston Jr. Robert Saleh, head coach at the podium, called it a bang-bang play, where both guys were competing for the ball in the air, not Winston laying him out. Obviously, no one's really doing that at this stage of training camp. But they collided with each other on the play. Elik Aya Manor was down for a while. Now, this happened near the end of practice. That's important, because he went inside with the trainer. He didn't come back out, but practice was almost over when he went in. And Robert Saleh, if you haven't seen it, Graver, called it stable. Still waiting for evaluation, but the shoulder looks stable. So by all accounts, sounds like the Titans escaped one there. And by the way, there was another play while we're talking Elik Aya Manor where Cam Ward hit him during another red zone period in the end zone there where he went over Alante Taylor. So Alante Taylor giving up a couple plays today. And Aya Manor talked trash after that one, TD noted. Certainly sounds like Aya Manor. You know, we're talking about him playing with more confidence. He's even talking trash to the starting corners after he beats them in the red zone.
I mean, it sounds like one of the type of competitive practice days that you love to see from your team. Defense winning a red zone period, offense responding with a long touchdown, also scoring touchdowns in the red zone, both sides of the ball jabbing at each other, getting their licks in and winning different parts of practice. Like, that's a strong team. Sometimes the defense wins, sometimes the offense wins. Iron sharpens iron, like we said the other day, and like every single team uses this time of year, Justin. But I mean, this is what you want to see. Like, The only thing that is concerning about the reports from this practice are how severe the injuries are. And I think we'll talk about two injuries because we just covered Iron Manor pretty in depth there when we come back from our first break. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha steaks, because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak. Because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard us talk about BetterHelp for the past month or so now, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. And these reviews are updated every day, with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Just answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. It's football season, Justin, the best time of year to make sports bets as far as I'm concerned. And whether you've been betting your whole life or just trying to get into it this season, MyBookie is the best way to place your bets.
My favorite part about MyBookie, you don't need to be an expert. They have NFL lines every week, every game. Find your sweet spot, place your bets, and make betting fun again.
Yeah, Justin, and my favorite part about MyBookie, I can place my bets wherever I am, wherever I want to, before the game kicks off. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. MyBookie.com is available, and so I'll be playing there all season long.
And guess what? If you're new to MyBookie, the Music City Audible has you covered. The Bet Back bonus gives you protection on your first play. Sign up with our promo code MCA, opt into the Bet Back bonus, and take your first shot with a safety net.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. If your first wager loses, you get it right back. No questions asked. Make the most of football season. Make all the action as important as you possibly can. Get in now. Cash in on the season with MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. But remember, Audible Army, always bet responsibly. Never gamble more than you can afford to lose. MyBookie! Welcome back, everyone. All right, Justin, we got two big injury updates here. One of them pretty dang major that we got before practice this morning, courtesy of Paul Kaharski, before we then got more words about it from, you know, that he was there at practice, so we understand what happened regardless of PK's reporting. But good job by PK to get this scoop before practice started. Dan Moore, left tackle, left practice early on Wednesday, appeared hobbled in the lower body area. Sorry, on Tuesday, appeared hobbled in the lower body area. Back on the field today, started team periods, no injury to be concerned about there. He's, you know, Robert Saleh said this right before training camp opened, but like, Everyone's dealing with something as soon as we put the pads on the first time, he basically said. This is one of those things that Dan Moore probably would be dealing with. I bet everybody's dealing with something already because the contact is happening. Their bodies are getting reacclimated to taking hits, which they'll need to be acclimated for to survive the season. So good to see that Dan Moore's injury, not serious at all. At the same time, I think you maybe tweeted this, calling it a warning shot to like Titans and Mike Borgonzi to like, hey, just in case something did happen to Dan Moore or JC Latham, like, you still don't have a capable backup.
Well, I called it a warning shot. I think that was a good way to put it. You know, they're fortunate that he wasn't, you know, avoided something major and he's back at practice today. Listen, like these things are happening, and knock on wood, Titans have been fortunate so far, right? Like the Atlanta Falcons just lost Jalen Walker, season-ending ACL. The Panthers have lost second-round receiver Chris Brazel. And they also lost sophomore pass rusher Nick Scorton. Like, both season-ending injuries. Like, the San Francisco 49ers, everyone's hurt because of an electrical substation or whatever's going on over there. Like, I actually don't know that full story.
Chris Forster, who's filling in for Kyle Shanahan as the acting head coach for the 49ers right now while Shanahan recovers from his car accident, was asked at yesterday's training camp practice if the 49ers had enough healthy players for a joint practice next week. Talking about which team... The Titans are the ones going to Sanford to join practice. And he said, we're too deep at every position, which is enough for a practice. So the Titans may not get the full like 49ers joint experience, but they will have enough opponents to practice against. The biggest thing I'm concerned about is that joint practice is not in Nashville. It's in San Francisco. You know what that means? It's right next to the electrical substation, Justin. The Titans players are going to be in jeopardy next Tuesday. I don't want anything bad to happen to them. They can't do that. Why are we doing this?
I want to see Hendon Hooker hand off the ball to Michael Carter all practice long. I don't want to see anything else other than your fourth-string quarterback and a couple of low-level linemen with Ryan Hayes and Emil Wagner and Rashid Miller protecting the quarterback. Okay, all kidding aside, back to Dan Moore. Good that he's back at practice today. Titans avoided something worse there. But I continue to beat the drum about this swing tackle situation, right? Like Austin Deculus, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon. And I want to be clear, like most teams are dealing with something on the O-line. And I'm not trying to excuse the Titans, but things like the chances are you don't know all 32 depth charts in the NFL, right? Prime example, I was having a conversation with a colleague in the industry who covers the Buffalo Bills. And here's something I didn't know. I said to him, man, you know, we're talking about the rookies, you know, guys I was high on, they took Skylar Bell, and he's been at practice. He's out there in Buffalo. He says to me, the only thing I'm concerned about is that left guard spot. And I said, well, what's going on? I don't know what's going on in Buffalo with the left guard spot. And he said, well, it's a position battle to see who's going to start between Alec Anderson and Austin Corbett. I mean, the Bills got aspirations of winning a Super Bowl, right? Like, if I told you the Titans' right guard competition was between Alec Anderson and Austin Corbett, you probably wouldn't feel any better than you do about Cordell Volson or Jackson Slater, right? Like, all in all to say, I think these things are more common across the league than most of us realize. And that's a Super Bowl contending Buffalo Bills team, right? But not to excuse the Titans, because obviously they've probably got more questions than everyone else. Because we don't just have questions about that right guard spot. We've obviously got some questions about Austin Schlotman, the starting center who just spoke at the podium a few minutes ago. And then once you get into the swing tackle spot, where Dan Moore leaves practice, and it's like, okay, Austin Deculus, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon. I hope the Dan Moore injury scare, you know, motivates them a little bit to figure out what they're doing at that backup tackle spot.
Totally agree. That is something that we've said a few times too, is that like the state of offensive line play across the league is dire, and like the Titans not having a bunch of guys that they feel amazing about, they're not unique in that situation. Like everybody has a hole somewhere on their roster. A lot of teams have that hole at quarterback, at offensive line, whether it's left guard, right guard, left tackle, right tackle. Everybody's dealing with bad subpar offensive line play. So that's kind of a situation. But I still think that swing tackle is a place that should they should make an effort to upgrade, even if you're going to accept that there will be holes on your roster somewhere. Like, that's one that can really make or break your entire season. So they should make an effort there. Another injury to update on. John Franklin Myers apparently dealing with some kind of back issue. Didn't practice today, and we don't really have an update on how serious it is or what his status is, but Robert Saleh spoke about it at the podium after practice.
He called it back stiffness or back soreness, so sounds to me like, it's August 6th. Why are we going to push a proven veteran who's got a little back stiffness? I mean, I woke up with a sore back. I almost didn't do the podcast today, so I can't imagine wanting to practice in pads against other 300-pound linemen if I had back stiffness at training camp. So probably nothing to see there with John Franklin Myers. But three updates, you know, again, a good one on Dan Moore. And then you've got the quote-unquote negative updates on John Franklin Myers and Alec Iomander. But when you compare it to what's happening across the league, it sounds like they've, you know, continued to escape anything drastic. With, again, the biggest one being Iomander leaving practice today, late in practice after a collision with Kevin Winston Jr. on a completion down the field, was down for a bit, got up, left the practice field with a trainer, did not return. Again, this happened late in practice, so he didn't miss a whole chunk of it. And then Robert Saleh providing a scarce update at the podium saying, we're waiting for the complete evaluation, but it sounds like it is relatively stable. So hopefully nothing to concern yourself there with Alec Iomander.
Yeah, we will see what happens over the coming few days here. Who participates in the scrimmage tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium, the blue-white scrimmage Robert Saleh has referred to it as multiple times. Jacob Martin speaking at the podium right now, right at this instant. Former Titans tight end Delanie Walker was at practice today, Justin. Just a fun little note for you there. I want to talk about James Williams, who had another big play in today's practice. We have an interesting question about Cedric Gray in the chat that we're going to get to, but we got to take our second break, so let's do that, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Here we go. A couple last notes from practice. James Williams, who it feels like has made not just like a tackle or a play in the backfield or something, but has made like turnover-causing highlight reel plays on a daily basis at practice, forced a fumble today, punched the ball out of Kylan Granson's hands, and then picked it up and recovered it himself. I mean, talk about a one-man wrecking crew. James Williams continues to make plays. I do think this is a good chance to answer this question that came in early in our stream from Thesaurus. Is there a world where Cedric Gray is the odd man out with how James Williams is trending? I'm getting all jacked up over here. So I'll answer first, Justin, and I'll let you go. No. There is no world where Cedric Gray is the odd man out. Cedric Gray is still the best linebacker the Titans have. Like, James Williams can make as many plays as he wants in training camp. Until he does this kind of stuff in a football game, a real football game too, not a preseason game, we're going to continue to give Cedric Gray the best Titans linebacker title. Until Anthony Hill proves himself to be more than, you know, a second-round rookie, then Cedric Gray has this title. So Cedric Gray is the only guy that we are 100% sure is starting at linebacker in week one. I do think there's a world. I mean, it's a 4-3 defense now, right? So you have three inside linebackers. Titans fans may not be used to this because it's been like a decade since they ran a 4-3 front, maybe longer than that. And in a 3-4 front, the four backers that are off the ball, two of those guys are edge rushers, and there's really only two inside linebackers. In a 4-3, there are three off-ball linebackers. Now, the Titans are not going to play a lot of sets with three off-ball linebackers on the field because they'll be in sub-packages where you get extra defensive backs on the field and take a linebacker off the field. But when they do have three linebackers on the field, it would be great if these guys established themselves so that the coaching staff felt comfortable playing Cedric Gray, Anthony Hill, and James Williams as the three linebackers. That gives you athleticism, coverage ability, big play, around the ball ability. Now, those guys have to prove that they're capable and ready to do that and supplant Cody Barton and whatever other free agent linebackers they sign this offseason. But there is a world where James Williams carves out that kind of role for himself. There's no world where he takes Cedric Gray's job, though.
I'm mostly with you. I'd be shocked if it's Gray, Williams, Hill. I think that's wishful thinking. I find it hard to believe Barton's not going to be out there, especially when they have three linebackers. But Gray, Barton, Williams gives you a nice mix of young leadership, enthusiasm, explosion, athleticism, and some veteran maturity with Cody Barton. So for me, I think no, Cedric Gray's not being supplanted, but everything else is up for grabs there at linebacker. And we're starting to reach a point where it almost feels like death taxes James Williams making big plays at training camp. He's just, he is stacking multiple days in a row right now.
Totally. Lulu and Stitch, great name, says, what's the P scale on regarding the O-line tackle at this point? My P scale for the actual offensive line starting unit is like a 4 to 5. Like, I'm mildly concerned that they're not going to be a top 20 unit in the league. And that could be an issue. Hopefully, Brian Daboll's scheme accounts for that. Hopefully, Cam Ward takes a step in avoiding pressure to account for that. My P scale on the depth is at a 9 or a 10. If Dan Moore or J.C. Latham has to miss a series, let alone a game or a stretch of games, the Titans' offense is going to have to change to account for a bad tackle being on the field. So, yeah, I'm not feeling great about the depth at all. I feel fine. Like, yeah, there's some concern, but I'm not panicking about the starting group right now, even though we don't even know who the starting group is right now.
Yeah, and by the way, Robert Saleh said at the podium today that they won't make any decisions until after the third preseason game with the Bears regarding the starting group. But I'm with, like, I'm concerned about the tackle depth. It's weird. Like, I feel okay about the interior depth because one of those guys that's going to lose a starting job, like Jackson Slater or whatever, probably be okay to come in a pinch. We'll see on center and right guard. I think Austin Schlotman, I'm not concerned right now. I think he'll probably be passable, league average. The right guard spot is the one that I guess is more concerning above all.
And I don't know if you know this or not, Justin, Daniel Jeremiah and Kurt Warner of NFL Network were at Titans practice today. NFL Network's been sending people all over the country to training camps across the league. Titans have not been featured on that yet. Today is the day that they will be featured. There will be an interview with Robert Saleh played on NFL Network later and probably tweeted out. And maybe if it's good, I'll use it to open tomorrow's show. Justin, I got to run in just a second. Let's hit these two super chats. And then we got another starred question we're going to hit. And then if you want to keep going, feel free. If you can't, I understand. We'll tell you why you may not be able to keep going when we answer the last starred question. But first, the super chats. Here we go.
We keeping a book right now.
Christian Romo 4120 with 440 joules. No idea what emoji would elicit the text "unk alert," but that's
same.
What we see
is
on
it
our
like
screen
an old
here.
Man with glasses, like what does the "unk alert" emoji look like? I never want to know. I want my imagination to run wild.
I might have to go check it out on YouTube later just to find out. And then we got.
We keeping a book.
$5 Canadian donation from Bruce Bako, your Canadian friend, Justin. If they're going to sign a swing tackle, shouldn't it be as soon as possible while there's still a decent one available? Go Titans. I think that availability isn't my biggest concern. Like, there will be a decent one available probably for the next 2 or 3 weeks until injuries start piling up and teams really start setting their final depth charts. What I'm more concerned about is like learning the offense and getting into the chemistry and the swing of things with the rest of the offensive line. That would be the rush to sign one. At the same time, they don't have to do this immediately because a lot of these veterans that are still out there are veterans. They know how to pick up a new system and integrate themselves into a new team. So that's kind of how I feel.
And right now you got guys like Jack Conklin, Cam Robinson, Taylor Decker. So there's actually a surprising amount of names available. Maybe the market starts to heat up. The New England Patriots are hosting veteran guard Greg Van Rotten on a visit. Notable to me somewhat because he played for Brian Daboll and Carmen Brasillo the last 2 years with the New York Giants. I wondered if he could be a backup emergency plan at right guard. But there he is visiting Vrabel and the Patriots.
Oh my goodness gracious. Mike the Ear Guy with a couple of 440 Joule Unk Alert donations here. Still no idea what the Unk Alert emoji is. Maybe somebody can tell us. But okay, we got this last question I'm going to hit, and then I'll turn it over to you. Again, feel free to stay on or not. I'm going to be out of here, so I don't even know what you're doing.
Maybe a few minutes, because a couple other notes from practice I want to hit. Yeah.
Cool. JTurn314 asks, update on the Discord. All right, here's the update on the Discord. Later today, Justin Mello is getting on a plane and flying to Portugal. Sorry, can I say that on the show?
Of course.
He's gonna be out of town for the next week plus. I'll be doing shows without him all next week. Got Easton Freeze coming on Monday's show to talk about the Nissan Stadium scrimmage. And we'll see if I do some solo shows or get a guest. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet for next week. But we're not going to launch the Discord while Justin's gone for two reasons. Number one, that would mean either Justin is ignoring you for a whole week while he's gone, or we're all interrupting Justin on his vacation, his last chance to get away before a long, grueling football season. So we're just going to push that until when Justin comes back. We'll have a full announcement on it, how to get involved, how to sign up and join the Discord, the premium tier, the free tier, all that stuff coming down the pipe after Justin's back. So that also explains why Justin might have to leave, but I guess you're going to stay on and do a few minutes, huh?
Just going to do a few minutes. Yeah, so I'm leaving tonight. It's only a one-week vacation, but I am going to miss tomorrow's show, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. So I'm missing six shows, unfortunately. Graver's going to be holding it down, probably bring on a couple guests. Like you said, Easton will be on Monday. Maybe we'll talk to Zach Lyons, and we'll figure out a couple other guests. We'll see. But I'm missing a week's worth. I'll be back the following Monday. So, which is what? I don't even know. The 16th or 17th, whatever that month. I come back on Friday the 14th. I'm just going to miss the live stream next Friday. I land at like 11 or Central, 11:30 Central. So, but importantly, I want to be here when the Discord is launched. I don't want you guys to be excited, wanting to communicate with us, and then I can't even communicate with you when you sign up. So safe travels. Right. Thanks a lot, Theory, for the kind words. Appreciate that.
Over to you, Justin. I'm out of here.
All right, guys. A couple other notes I wanted to hit from practice today. Just a very brief ones. But it sounded like kicker Joey Sly missed a bunch of kicks in practice today. It's interesting to me that the Titans don't have any competition along the special teams unit at all, right? Like, Joey Sly is the kicker, Tommy Townsend's the punter, Morgan Cox is the long snapper. They don't even have, like, a young kicker, UDFA punter pushing those guys at all. Hopefully Joey Sly gets back on track. It also sounded like Will Levis had a bit of an up-and-down practice today. If you guys have any questions before I get into that, submit them now, because as we start to wind down, I can be convinced to stick around if we've got some good questions, but if not, you know, we'll probably end it a little earlier. But Will Levis had a couple touchdowns. He hit Joel Wilson for a play-action touchdown. He hit Mason Kinsey for a touchdown that was described as being in traffic, a nice ball there. But it also sounded like, you know, Connor Newt, who's one of the newer guys on the beat that was out there, said a typical Will Levis practice, not in a good way. So take that for what it means. Up and down day for Will Levis. I'm going to answer this question that Roster Grids just answered in chat from GTownWR. I don't know if I'm mispronouncing that anyway. I apologize if I am, but it reads to me as GTownWR. Do you think Borgonzi is actually bad at identifying the issue on the O-line, or is there just not a solution he likes right now, but he knows it needs to be addressed? Good question. You know, I think at right guard, you know, it sounded like things didn't really transpire with Kevin Zeitler in a good direction. They bring in a guy in Cordell Volson who's interesting because he's had a lot of experience starting at right guard in the NFL. And I've spoken to people who feel that, you know, or they question, I should say, maybe he wasn't super well coached in Cincinnati. They've had consistent issues on the O-line, kind of relying on Joe Burrow to bail them out from a scheme perspective. They go high pass volume. Maybe he wasn't always in the best circumstances. So maybe Cordell Volson's a bit of a bounce back guy. I think when you draft Jackson Slater last year, you always assumed he was eventually going to get a chance, right? So that's what they're doing right now. They're giving Jackson Slater a chance to prove, you know, that he could win that job. And it's him versus Cordell Volson. At center, you know, you can still criticize him, but I really do think they were going to go after Connor McGovern in free agency. And he ends up getting re-signed by the Bills. That doesn't work out. You know, they bring in a guy that they know and that they trust because he's played for the O-line coach and he's played for the coordinator in Austin Schlotman. So I feel that they probably knew that was a part-time solution. And remember, he goes out and he drafts a center in Pat Coogan and he drafts a guard in Fernando Carmona. So that tells me that he knows he needs some future solutions there. I don't think he's bad, to answer your question, at identifying the issue. I think things maybe didn't transpire the way he hoped they would. And he went out and he got some guys who he thinks can be short-term solutions in Schlotman and Volson. But he's got Slater there and he drafts Coogan and Carmona. Like, I think he's planning and preparing for the future. But he needs those veterans to hopefully get them through this season at least. So I think that's a really good question, but I'll put up this one from Theory FPS. What was today's biggest update or news that I missed? Kellen Ward had a couple touchdowns. He had Carnell Tate on a go route. He had Alec Iomanna in a low red zone period. He also hit Daniel Bellinger on a play action play. The biggest concern or news tidbit, and I spoke to guys in attendance who, to be honest with, we're always honest with you guys. They say to us that it was a pretty quiet practice today, not super eventful. Alec Iomanna got injured late in practice. He had a collision with Kevin Winston Jr., was down holding his shoulder, left practice late. That's the biggest update. But the good news, if you will, is that Robert Saleh said it looks pretty stable. They're waiting for the full medical update, but it doesn't look overly concerning at a first glance. Hershey for Eva with a good question here. How fluid can Williams, Winston, Hooker be at the top two safety spots plus nickel corner? That's interesting because good question. I love the question. I don't think Josh Williams, if you're talking about Josh, or you're talking about James Williams, maybe, I assume. Maybe you can, sorry, I for some reason I read Josh Williams. You're probably talking about James Williams. I don't know that Williams is going to play a ton of, you know, slot corner. I don't think he's quite capable of doing that. He is a bit undersized and can play those coverage roles in linebacker. So you do might get him into that, you know, Kevin Winston spot maybe occasionally, or the Marcus Harris spot occasionally. I think you'll see some interchangeable stuff there. But for the most part, when the Titans are in base, I think it's Kevin Winston and Hooker, you know, every down at safety. Marcus Harris is the designated nickel. Williams, you could move around a bit when you have three linebackers on the field like we talked about earlier. I think that's a big one there, but certainly you've got some flexibility. Let's see here. No, I don't have any info on the Titans on Good Morning America. Hopefully it's a good one. Can you say Joshua? I'll say it right there for you. Hayden Fiedler. I remembered it correctly. Hayden Fiedler. I can say Joshua for us. It's been a while. I just got a text from Graver that made me laugh out loud. I'm going to read it verbatim because I thought it was hilarious. If you see this, of course I see it, remind people to like the stream. When Graver texted me, 130 watching, only 45 likes. Come on, Audible Army. We got to pump those numbers up, like Matthew McConaughey says in The Wolf of Wall Street. Pump them numbers up. If you're still in here, 121 of you, like the stream. The numbers ain't, the math ain't mathin', as the kids like to say. Uh-oh, slight audio popping. Oh, I don't know where that could be coming from. For instance, since I'm the only one in here, I can't exit the stream and restart it. We would essentially lose the stream. So hopefully that's not an issue. Eli Cargyle. I always almost mess this up, Eli. It says, actively listening to the pod while in a meeting with my regional manager and director of operations for the entire company. Tying up to you, Eli. Thank you so much for the dedication. At first, I'll just say it's just a regional manager. No big deal. That reminds me of Dwight Schrute on The Office. The assistant to the assistant regional manager. Appreciate you for still being here, Eli, despite the important work meetings. Let me see. Any other questions here that I wanted to get to? Give me a second while I scroll up and down a little bit. Bruce, thank you very much. I heard Portugal is nice this time of year. Yes, I think I'm going to enjoy it. Is Alec Iomanna the true Canadian Titan? Well, he's the only Canadian player on the team, but Titans got quite a bit of support, you know, on Twitter, and obviously I'm Canadian, so quite a bit of support here in Canada. Let me see if there are any other questions. Thank you so much. Hope Ayo is good to go. Yeah, I mean, listen, a guy like Ayo, you hope to see him in joint practice next week with the 49ers and maybe the preseason game on Thursday. So we'll await a medical update on Alec Iomanna from Robert Saleh, but it certainly sounds like nothing to be too concerned about. I looked at James Williams' measurables compared to Cam Chancellor, and I started to dream. Hook was touted as a nickel hybrid player coming out and is so smart. Love the follow-up, Hershey, and I'll agree with you a lot here. Like, remember, James Williams played safety at Miami, like, the whole time. If I'm recalling correctly, he never transitioned to linebacker in college. That happened after the Titans drafted him. You know, he was a bit undersized. He also wasn't that athletic by safety standards coming out of college. Like, the testing numbers were not good for a safety. I remember that well. That played a role into the transition to linebacker. But he's looking pretty athletic there right now. Amani Hooker, I agree, high football IQ, super smart football player. They certainly have some flexibility there between the linebackers and secondary. Normally, I watch on my work laptop where I can drop a like but not leave comments. Glad to be in the comments today. We're glad you're in the comments today, G-Town WR. Appreciate all you guys. As the Titans wrapped up their third padded practice on Thursday morning, a relatively quiet practice, but Cam Ward with a couple touchdowns to Alec Iomanner, Daniel Bellinger, and Carnell Tate. Will Levis with multiple touchdowns. James Williams forces and recovers a fumble. Injury updates, Dan Moore returned to practice. Nothing to see there. Titans avoided a disaster. Alec Iomanner left practice late with a shoulder injury after a collision with starting safety Kevin Winston Jr. But Robert Saleh saying, although they're awaiting the full medical update, the shoulder injury looks stable. That is really good news there. Some good. Oh, what is your top three TV show, top three TV shows of all time? Really good question, Hayden. I don't like Breaking Bad for me is always my number one. And then I'm like all over. I don't say all over the place. I really throwback, and you're gonna laugh. I used to love Lost. Like I thought Lost was one of the first excellent TV shows. Of course, it you know got a little weird towards the end. I love The Wire. I'm a big fan of The Wire. Boardwalk Empire, I loved on HBO. The Leftovers, like two really underrated shows. And then I'll give you a couple anthology, or is it called anthologies? I don't know. When it's only one season that I really, really love. Two that I consider to be very underrated. The Night Of on HBO is one of my favorites of all time. If you have not watched Blackbird on Apple TV, oh man, Blackbird is one of the most underrated, best television shows I've ever seen. One season, I put I plant my flag on Blackbird. And I think True Detective Season 1 has a strong argument for the greatest single season in television show history. I know they did a Season 2, 3, and even 4 now. But I really, really loved Season 1 of True Detective. But if you have not watched Blackbird or The Night Of, those might be my two most underrated shows of all time. Looking for some other questions here. Joint practice question. What are they like in comparison to regular practice? Who runs drills or is it just scrimmage? Good question, Holy Mexicans. There's going to be a lot of one-on-one stuff. That's going to what's going to dominate the timeline, to be blunt with you. Like, our Titans receivers versus 49er DBs and vice versa. And then the pass rushing drills. Our D-line against their O-line and vice versa. Should be a good measuring stick for this Titans O-line. Tuesday in Santa Clara, California, joint practice with the San Francisco 49ers. Good to see you making a live stream. Iglo Dog, that's one hell of a name. I love it. If you're late, Graver has to leave to go do heed the call. I'm wrapping up here with a couple final news and notes and taking some questions as I'm known to do. Hershey here says, Dable like table. You know what? I don't need an excuse to hit the thing. You know that I wanted to do it.
Yeah, so it's Dable. D like table, Dable.
Hayden, you knew I was going to say Lost. I love it. Yes, Boardwalk Empire is goated. I agree with you, Hershey, forever. I really loved Boardwalk Empire. But ultimately, I agree with Roster Grids here. My top three shows, MCA, MCA, and MCA. You know what to do. Hit the thing. And in this case, by thing, I mean like. Yes, Hayden, I got good taste. What can I say? Really solid show. True Detective, 100%, one of the best shows. I'll be blunt with you, Hershey. I tried to go back and rewatch Season 2 after all the hate. I hated it live like everyone else did. I tried to rewatch it. I did not like it. I still did not like the rewatch of Season 2. But I thought Season 3 was really, really good. A return to form, Season 3. Season 4, the winter edition, grabbed me initially, and then I think it got a little disappointing towards the end. Yes, Hershey, I love Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one of the greatest comedies, sitcoms of all time. Favorite Titans player of all time? I think I still got to go with Eddie George. He's the reason that I am a Titans fan. Was the first player that I quote-unquote fell in love with as a young fan, starting to fall in love with Titans football. Steve McNair right up there for me as well. Derrick Henry, of course, what a pleasure it was to watch him. And Chris Johnson, of course, you know, hopefully as we all wish Chris Johnson well as he continues his brave fight against ALS. But those are some of my favorite Titans players of all time. Guys, I think that's going to do it. It looks like we've run out of questions that I'm answering in the pod. Javon Curse only... Oh, look at that. I forget that you're in Canada. Where are you in Canada? I didn't know that you had a Javon Curse jersey in Canada. That's awesome. For me, I've got a lot of Titans jerseys, a lot in the graveyard, if you will. I got the Jake Locker jersey. I've got a Julio Jones jersey. God, that's a mistake. I've got a couple Mariotas. I've got a Taylor Lewan. You're in Toronto. That's awesome, Hershey. I'm in Toronto. I had no idea that you were in Toronto as well. Maybe we'll find a way to grab a pint someday. If we can grab a glass of beer together and talk Titans ball, I think that would be pretty cool. Ooh, you've got a Kendall Wright. That is pretty rough. That is tough. So, but didn't know you were in Toronto. That's awesome. I'm in Toronto. So you never know. Sounds like we need to get our stud running back so you could... Listen, it feels like... I know, it's a weird era for the Titans. They don't have a Chris Johnson or a Derrick Henry, an Eddie George, and Earl Campbell. Tony Pollard, very respectable back. I feel like he's more hated on because we're so used to having, as on my T-shirt, the Mount Rushmore of running backs. When Grant attacks, are you going to be at the Titans preseason game in San Fran? That's awesome. That's if you're in California... I hope you won't be the only member of the Audible Army there. Remember to like the stream, guys. That's going to do it for today's show. Reminder, I am flying to Portugal tonight for a one-week vacation with all 13 members of my immediate family. I'm pumped about it as we're going to make some great memories. We're celebrating my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. That's why we decided to come together and do this trip. Me, my brothers, I've got a whole bunch of nieces, nephews, all kinds of family members coming on this trip. My partner, my parents, a whole bunch of us. Thank you so much for the well wishes. Safe travels. Enjoy the vacation. So reminder, I will not be here for a week. Braver's going to hold down this show. Tomorrow, there'll be a live stream, I believe, as regularly scheduled. And then Monday to Friday next week, Graver will be holding the fort down. I'll return the following Monday, whatever that is, August 6th. I'm trying. You know what? I can look at a calendar really quick. I'll be back Monday, August 17th. But you're not going to miss anything. Graver's going to be holding the fort down. So please show him all your support. Hayden asking about, can Lomas be a guest? I mean, Lomas writes for me at Titan Size. I love Will Lomas. Appreciate his dedication to the show. Graver's going to be going through the motion of setting up guests. I don't think we're going to have a guest today, but we'll see what Graver decides. I know we've got Easton coming on Monday. I don't know that there's anyone else as of yet, so totally up to Graver, but I love and appreciate the shout-out, Aiden, for Will Lomas, who writes for me over at Titans. He had a great article just yesterday about the offense and defense at training camp, so... Keep Graver in line, Hershey. Keep supporting the show. Like, stream. No, Bruce, I will not forget my passport. I can assure you of that. Until tomorrow, when y'all are back with Graver, and hopefully I'm on a beach somewhere in Portugal, zipping a mojito before I get ready for a long season. Well, I was going to end the show, but I got to shout out the great witch who 1,000 jewels comes through with the GOAT trophy jewel from YouTube. You know what? Why don't I hit all four drops before I get out? It's my last chance to do it.
My goodness gracious.
Keeping a book right now. Keeping a book.
Gotta hit the... hit the thing. You gotta hit the thing, and I hit the thing for the great rich. Thank you so much for the donation. Day turn. You never know. Some craziness could ensue next week as Graver hosts. You might have your opportunity to make your first appearance on MCA. Thank you so much, Roster Grids. Hoping for a safe vacation myself. A lot of fun, a lot of family memories. And hopefully I will be back next Monday for my first return, and we'll have an update on the Discord. Wait for this stream to end, and then leave a comment below. It really helps us grow the show when you leave a comment after the stream ends. Thank you so much to everyone. Y'all stay safe out there. Join Braver for a week of pods and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media Production.